want to start off, though, with something that, boy, if you got it, you treasure it. And that's a good marriage. I've been married 32 years now. Very much in love with my wife. Have been since, I won't say since the day I met her. It was not love at first sight. But, you know, everything's different that way. We were friends and became more. But that happens sometimes. One thing, though, with a long marriage, you're going to have stages in it. And unfortunately, that even includes when it's not a successful one. I want to welcome in our good friend, the good Dr. John Braccio, with Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing for Psychologically Speaking Today. You can find all his podcasts at drjohnb.com, because I know he's got thoughts on this. Good morning, sir.
Well, good morning to you, Dave. And I have like 45 years married. And
congratulations.
Married, I might add. So yeah. Between the two of us, we've got almost 100 years. So I guess that's
I feel older now. I automatically feel older. That's okay. Look, good. We've talked about this before. Good marriages, it's a lot of work. It's not just a sled ride down that smooth hill from start to finish. There's bumps along the way. But you believe that all marriages here, especially ones that exist over a period of time, whether they're good or bad, go through distinct stages.
Well, I've been doing couples therapy since the 70s, okay? And there seems to be a pattern. You know, if you break down a really confusing, complicated situation, break it down into three stages. First stage is when you meet. Now, you may have some difficulties and just getting to know each other, but overall, this is the time that people fall in love.
Right.
They tend to see the best in each other. It's the heyday. It is something that's romantic. It's exciting. Everything about it. Then you go into stage two, and this is really the very critical period. And this can happen within weeks, within months, even within a year or so. But whatever it is, whatever period of time, it's when all of a sudden differences start showing. Differences. It could be things as basic as not picking things up, not doing your share of things, not wanting to be the family person, wanting to be going out all the time, not with your partner. And just basically disagreements could be rudeness, it can be yelling, it could be anger, it could be anything, a series of things. I was using not just one thing. And if things aren't worked out in this period of getting to know each other, things don't have to be overly dramatic, the differences, but the main thing is that the couple has to learn how to identify what the issues are, the concerns they have that cause the conflict.
Right.
And they have to be able to work on resolving those problems. And if they don't resolve them, then you go into stage three. And stage three is a very bad place to be, because stage three is either you're getting along or you're working on them. That's the positive. But the bad part is it otherwise leads to a time that the marriage really is over. The relationship is over, because there's so much anger, there's so much frustration, there's even right. indifference, you know, call it what you will, that will lead to the couple breaking up. Now, if you have children, you're financially tied together, this, of course, makes things, you know, far more complicated. But these three stages, at the stage two is really the critical one. That's when you realize everything isn't perfect. You're living together. You're
right.
trying to work things out. And that's true for everyone. There's no such thing as someone who doesn't have issues that they have to address. They don't have to be huge, but their relationships that end over small things that they just can't resolve. So it really is critical that when people get together, they love each other, they care for each other, but they realize there are going to be issues. They have to realize when they come up, how to deal with them, how to address them, call it what you will. But that is the key to having a successful relationship, you know, successful marriage. And when you consider, I kind of break things down into three parts. This is another just observation. That we know 50% of marriages fail. I believe that 25% are really very good. People really are like good gardeners working with each other, each giving 60, 40, so each gets 100. But there's another 25% that just stay together. They stay together, could be from children, which, of course, is positive for the kids.
Right.
Because, you know, children don't ask to be born. And or they may be together for financial reasons, and they so that it isn't practical to leave. Or they're together for other reasons. They just might just choose to stay together. People don't really want that. people really want to have a loving, caring, intimate, you know, affectionate relationship. But in order to do that, you really have to work on the relationship. When you get into that stage two, you begin to realize, boy, there are issues here, there are things we have to work on. That is when you really have to work. You can do it yourself, of course. You can work with a minister, a priest. You can work with a therapist, counselor, family member, people you trust. So those are critical. And unfortunately, there are so many relationships that end that don't really have to end. They end because they never really work things out in that stage two. Dave, I can
ask you about that stage two. When they come in and you counsel, and you know that that's where they're at right now, suddenly there's some rude awakenings that have gone on, and they realize that the honeymoon is over, the marriage is on, and there's things they don't like about it. Is that counseling, whether it's with you, as you said, whether it's with a trusted person in their clergy, their religion, something along these lines, whatever it is, how often is that successful? Or when you reach that point and they're reaching out for help, is it already a 50-50 kind of a crapshoot? What do you think?
Well, that's a hard question to answer because it depends on when people seek help.
Right.
If people seek help when they're still in love and they really are fully committed,
yeah,
then that's good. If they're coming in when it comes to the point that they're really about done and finally one is pushing it, the other person says, oh, okay, I'll go. But you can see when the people come in if there's really a commitment, if they're just doing it for just to say they've done it, or they really question that things can work. Hmm. I believe you try to save a relationship if you can, because one thing I've seen many, many times is a person that does get married a second time, they will then successfully do that in the second relationship because they realize that if they had worked harder in the first one, that relationship would have worked. Sometimes it takes people two times to really learn how to do things right. I always make the point, if you can do it in the first time, that's really what you want to do.
No kidding. Yeah, right. Yeah, especially when you have other, and then as things get, as you mentioned, complicated, you introduce children into it. You've got, mixed finances together. It's not a pretty picture to break apart.
No.
And, lawyers will, they'll help you do it. And the law will bang the gavel and it will be all legal and official. But there will be hurt and there will be pain. And that doesn't instantly go away. The point is to try to avoid it to begin with, right?
That is absolutely true. And also, when you have children involved, back on the children issue, the data clearly shows that divorce makes it very difficult for huge percentages of children. When you all of a sudden are putting blended families, you're putting people together, you're trying to sort things out, and often the children really don't adapt to that well. I mean, then they get involved if the parents that mistake it when stage two didn't work and you're in stage three. Then they're fighting, and then they get stuck in the middle of two people that really, really hate or dislike or are very angry with each other.
Is it usually when people come to see you and they're in that stage two, is it normally a case where they both realize there's a major problem here, or usually is it one spouse that's has dawned on before another and they've had to, bargain to make an agreement to get both in there? They want to try to save it. What do you normally find? Is it a one person, a motivation, or is it usually both realize there's a big problem?
Well, it's another one of those. It's not a this or that. It's a mixture of the two.
Okay.
I think often there is a one partner that seems to be pushing it the most. But there also are times where both realize there's an issue. Like, I just had a call a couple of days ago by someone who admitted that he was the issue, but now they wanted to work on things. And the spouse was willing to work on this. But this was a case where the person wanting to do it realized that he was a problem. Now, often you have a different situation where, back on your question, where one person doesn't think they're the problem at all. If they're very, they don't think there's much at all. They don't see how what they do really bothers the other person. And it may be true that it might not bother a different person, But if it bothers the person you're living with, then you're going to have to find a way to deal with that.
And then my ultimate point there, Doc, was, it takes two to tango. That's the old phrase.
Yes.
It takes two to make a solution here. And if you're both invested in that, even if things are bad, you have a shot. And if you're both not invested, only one is and the other isn't, and who knows where it's going to go, probably not in a positive direction. I mean, you want to have people move in that positive direction. We hope you find those with the podcast, which you'll find at drjohnb.com. Marriages, the stages here, and problem marriages that come up in stage two. That's where it's critical that you get help from someone. And the person we turn to here is Dr. John Brancio, Sr., Regional Psychological Services in East Lansing. Stay warm down south, my friend, okay?
Well, I'm in 80-degree weather until later today.
All right.
I'll be coming back to Michigan.
Oh, boy. Well, we'll welcome you back. We'll try to melt off a little more of the ice between now and then. We'll do our part. Thank you, sir.
Okay, my friend. We'll chat later.
All right. Coming back on the Morning Wake Up, stick around. This is 1320 WILS.